Welcome to Language Power. Learn Norwegian in 17 years. After listening to this course, the student will be able to present themselves in Norwegian, understand the basic of Norwegian small talk, have a basic understanding of local Norwegian customs and traditions, count to 11, correct other Norwegian people's grammar, appreciate hot food from petrol stations, gossip about people when they're not around, and learn to pay attention when I'm eating the swell. Welcome, Jamie. Jamie is... you want more music?
Yeah, that'd you be want, nice.
Yeah.
Bit more music, yeah. What's a swell?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Swell is my way of saying it in English, but it's svele.
Oh, what's a svele?
Svele?
Yeah.
It's like it's like a waffle where you've shaved all the carvings off, and
so
you've
what, a pancake.
Yes, but with yogurt.
What instead of milk? Yogurt.
Yeah, or kefir, I think.
Oh. Like a sour.
Listen, man, I'm not a chef.
But this is important.
What's more important is the question about you, if you've done your homework. Har du gjort hjemmeleksa di?
It's been a lovely day today, hasn't it? Lovely
and
weather.
Very good. And how do you say that in Norwegian?
It has been a lovely day today.
Fint vær I dag, jent! Ant is ikke sant. If you're a drug addict, you're allowed to jump over lots of vocals and take shortcuts. Nobody.
I'm learning drug addict origin now.
Oh yeah. Oh no. That's the that's
the advanced class.
Oh yes.
How to speak like a drug addict.
In 700 years. So, today your homework was what do you think is being a Norwegian? Hva norsk?
So, so there's a few things I think about being Norwegian.
Yes.
And a lot of it is based on the want for tradition. So there always seems to be traditions going on in Norway. And the other thing that I watched, because I asked a few friends of mine, they were saying that I should watch something called Floor Clipper.
Floor Clipper, yeah.
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 And that's apparently the essence of being a Norwegian.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll come back to that.
Mm.
But so what is being a Norwegian? Because you have traditions all over the world.
Mm.
And, you know, the Aborigines have more traditions. But are they more Norwegian?
I see. So I guess it depends. So what is it to be Norwegian?
La meg gjøre det enklere for deg. Hva vil det si å være engelsk?
What was that? Sorry.
Hva vil det si å være engelsk?
Oh. Something about English?
Yes, very good. I forgot that it's a new beginner class. I was mischanging you with an advanced class.
Yeah, the drug addict class.
Yeah. But that was just because of the appearance. So,
bastard.
I'm sorry, but it needs to be like that.
Mm.
The teacher must have some freedoms.
To call the student a drug addict. Yeah.
Awkward silence. Not science. what is it to be an Englishman? What can you...
That's been up for debate for years. It's sort of an academic question now, just as much as it. So maybe it depends where you are on the political spectrum, because I think someone that's more right-leaning would have a more patriotic idea of what it is to be English.
What's it for you?
For me personally, it's the country I was born in, the culture that developed me as a human being. So that's where obviously my sense of humour, that's very stereotypically English, if not a little bit darker than normal because of where the area I'm from. What is it to be English? I guess at the moment what it is to be English is to just sit there and watch the government. Oh, cheers, man. Ask me such a deep question and then expect such a really quick, concise answer. For me, watching English is being in another country and being embarrassed by the news at the moment while the political party that's in charge just embarrasses itself constantly by stupid decisions. And I mean, you've got a king that obviously no one votes for now.
But the question is, what is it being British for you? Not what it's not to be like, because if it was so bad, why are you still living there? Or you're not, you've moved
I'm
from
in
there.
Norway.
That's right. But is it a state of mind to be a British, or is it you would rather be from some other country?
No, I don't think I'd want to be from any other country. I'm proud of being British, and I'm even more so, I'm proud of being English.
Can you list a couple of things that define you as a, like stereotypical things that define you as a British? Like in Norway, you have a quick lunch, you climb mountains, and you... You ski all the time, and you're.
I think we give less of a shit. I mean, this depends on where you are in the world, where you are in the UK as well. But I'm British from a city, and we tend to, because the cities are so diverse, we tend to have more diverse interests and more. We're able to talk to a bigger group of people, as it were.
Around the world, or
I mean, and in different social classes and different like stages in their life as well.
But isn't that what life is about?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Isn't that a bigger thing than defining you from the news?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing about being British is it's not all just getting drunk and getting into fights at football matches, which seems to be a lot of what the international opinion of English is, and also you know, going on holiday to places like Spain and then just ordering British food, not wanting to try anything, and sort of like having some sort of alcohol tourism in places like Prague where we sort of embarrass ourselves sometimes. But I think when it comes to being British, it's just being proud of your country's achievements, but at the same time it's difficult to be because of the colonial past, I guess.
What other things than the colonial past is it that you can brag about when you're, for example, in Prague?
Well, music, for example. British music has changed the world. And there's a lot of very big musical artists out there that have really, really made an impact. Writers, invention. There's a lot of really interesting English and British achievements, like the telephone, Alexander Graham Bell, that was a British invention. The internet, as an English guy.
Okay. And so what do you think is being Norwegian then, which was your homework?
So, that and watching bits of Floor Clipper to try and understand. So the stereotypes of Norway from outside of Norway are Vikings, black metal, and hiking in nature and wearing those woolly jumpers with the patterns on. That's pretty much the stereotypes, although you've got...
you have the Peace Prize.
The Nobel Peace Prize, yeah. Oh, that's Norwegian.
That's very much Norwegian.
Very Norwegian. Oh, I thought that was Swedish.
Yeah, the Nobel guy is from Sweden, but the Nobel Prizes are given out in Sweden, but the Peace Prize, the Vikings maybe have a little bad self-esteem for what they've done for thousands of years ago, and they want to give out peace shout-outs.
Yeah.
I think, yes. So I think the Vikings are, the Norwegians are, being Norwegian, of course, and like British is possibly more like a state of mind. Than,
yeah, I think so.
And the Norwegians, I think, like to see themselves as people who are easy to connect with, easy to listen to, and they would think of themselves as people who are they understand more or are willing to understand because they don't have any issues like religious issues, too hardcore political issues. They just want to drink beer and have fun, kind of.
Yeah, I think I'd argue with you, and they're easy to get to know, easy to talk with, part because I couldn't sit next to someone on a bus and have a conversation with them, like
no.
a stranger or.
But you had to give him a Jägermeister
yeah.
first.
Yeah, you can't outside of like an alcoholic or context of a social club or a society or something like that really have a conversation with someone from Norway and
I'm sorry.
Make friends, I don't think.
So you mean that I'm drunk? So, yeah, but it is interesting. The interesting thing is that most of the things that Norwegians think that Norwegians are isn't too much typical Norwegians either. Mm. So many Norwegians aren't Norwegians because they're not what they think. They're not what they want to be. They want to... But that's also because of psychisk helse and psychic problems, domestic head problems, issues. Everybody has issues.
Mm.
So, and everybody has goals, but Norwegians think they're looked upon as cold people, the cold people up in north. And that's why crime is selling very much from Norway and Sweden and Finland.
I actually think that the people I met in the north were friendlier than the people I met in the... Yeah. I mean, there's the south are pretty friendly as well. Like, direct south and direct north are the friendliest. I think Bergen people were less friendly but more talkative, but most of the time they just talk about themselves.
Mm.
Trondheim, actually, I think, was the people that just didn't give a shit. When I've met people from Trondheim, they were crazy.
Mm.
But in a good way. Vennesla, when we did that gig in Vennesla, they were pretty fun. They were pretty crazy. So I think it depends. But I think the major contributing factor on whether a Norwegian's going to be friendly to a stranger is alcohol.
Yeah, so alcohol is the crucial make people talk in Europe. So yeah, so crime is selling a lot in all over the world from Scandinavia because. The readers in Costa del Sol or South America somewhere can imagine that, Norwegian serial killer. Yeah, that's understandable because he's had enough. He's living in this freezer box and he wants to kill someone. I understand that. So so it's more like logic.
Yeah.
To that. Are you breathing heavily inside your microphone?
Sorry, I was leaning for, I was getting more and more interested.
In the, yeah.
Sorry.
So you're talking about Flåklypa. What was it with that Flåklypa stuff? So you've seen that movie?
Yeah, I saw bits of it.
You like it?
Yeah, there were two things that I thought were interesting. One was my favorite character in the show, a guy called Ludwig.
Ah, Ludwig. Yeah.
And he just used to go, oh, der Falliner.
Excuse me?
Oh, der Falliner.
Yes.
That guy, yeah. So I really liked.
Yeah. Ludwig.
Yeah, so I was
and
thinking...
You know what that means?
I guess. But I don't know what Farlida means.
Farlida. It means it's dangerous.
Oh, der Farlida.
Yes, he's afraid, you know. Well, that's dangerous.
I was thinking maybe I could do that voice when I talk in Norwegian from now on, whenever I say anything.
In that voice, yes.
Yeah.
Then you have to come to the drug level of Norwegian. That's advanced class. You can't jump three classes to get there.
I'm sorry.
So, So yeah, what's the other things? You know, Norwegians, they like to see themselves. They want to be those people. Norwegians want to look at themselves as the characters in that movie.
Really? What, blue eyes, big noses, and casual racist stereotypes?
Racist?
Yeah. The car, right, the car race, there's an Arab with a golden car and a monkey butler. How is that not racial stereotyping? Is that...
That the butler is a monkey?
Yeah, and the stereotypically Arab guy with the golden car, is that not problematic or...?
No, because the all Arabs are exactly like that. I haven't never seen an Arab guy. I have never seen an Arabian guy with the cloth on his head and a sword and a goatee driving like a Mazda from the 80s.
I see.
They like gold. But you're talking about the monkey.
Yeah, the monkey.
But the monkey is a monkey. It's not, the monkey isn't representing a country.
No.
And the monkey's name is Emmanuel Desperados. Emmanuel Desperados.
Emmanuel Desperados.
Yes, there are other characters in the movie that Ludwig, they have fallen.
Yeah.
He's a pig Svin.
He's a pig.
Svin. Oh, that's pig two times, isn't it?
Yeah, a pig.
It's you know, what the fuck, man? It's not I'm me sorry. Teaching English here. It's an animal with spikes.
Oh, warthog.
Warthog.
Warthog. Yeah, warthog.
Yeah, that's Ludwig, and that's the white guy.
He didn't have spikes. He didn't have the teeth.
Yeah, that's just bad work from Ivo Caprino. You know, Ivo Caprino is the guy who made this movies. He's made a lot of Norwegian movies that's kind of defining Norwegians. In
is that his
box.
Real name as well?
Oh yeah,
Ivo Caprino, because it sounds really nice.
Yeah, I think he's a little Italian. And his great grandfather. You know, we're in this street here. It's Hans Gude's Gate. Hans Gude was a famous painter.
Oh,
there were two painters, Tiedemann and Gude. Tiedemann painted, and Gude hung up the pictures.
Oh,
this Ivo Caprino guy.
Yeah.
Ivo Caprino's great-grandfather is Hans Gude.
Hans Gude?
Yeah.
So he's got good hands?
No, this road is called after Ivo Caprino's great-grandfather.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's... So he's Norway's Disney.
Mm.
So he's made a lot of stop-motion movies. And he's... he's a big deal in Norway. I met him once. Mm.
Did you? What was he like?
I said hello and he said, hello.
Oh.
Back in, I passed him.
Is that what his voice was like? Hello?
No, it does impression. I think it's more nasal. It's, hello.
Oh.
Like his dolls. Because his throat is of wood.
Oh.
His wooden throat.
Like Pinocchio.
Yeah, but just the throat. It grows and his voice becomes... if you put a Viagra in his mouth and he swallows it and it grows, it becomes... Hello.
Nice.
But that's a very private matter. he told me not to tell this. So he is a big thing. So he's made a lot of stuff that Norwegians like to look at themselves as... but it doesn't mean that they are like that.
Yeah.
It's people that are individuals, so practical, they can do anything, fix anything. They like to do stuff. And So
what parts of Floor Clipper would you say sum up what it is to be Norwegian?
The whole movie.
Oh.
Yeah, you should see it. It's the most seen movie in Norway. It's seen 5 million times, over 5 million times.
Oh, wow.
And you know how much population it is in Norway?
5 million?
Yes.
Look at that.
So
everyone's seen it.
Almost twice.
Nice.
Maybe they didn't get it the first time. That was because everybody had that throat problem. So that's even a couple. Oh my God. What? Time is running away from us.
Oh, no.
Are you crazy?
It's time for... What is it time for? From abroad. Yes, from abroad.
Right, so...
People call, email Jamie to ask where he is. He's been missing for lots of time. It's missing posters all over Croydon. Where are you? You disappeared after the riots. We want you back. And he's just, I'm in Norway. Oh, you're in Norway. We have a question for you.
Okay, so you ready for the question?
Okay.
Yeah, hi, this is Jim from Hastings in East Sussex. My question is, who would win a fight between Aha and Duran Duran?
All the big questions now.
That's his fucking question?
That's a big question. Who'd win in a fight? I mean, it's an obvious question to me. Duran Duran, English band.
Yeah, because there are more people.
Yeah, more people, more number ones in the UK as well. They actually play instruments. Do Aha play instruments or are they just singing?
Singing is a great instrument. The voice of Morten Harket. So you know he's in the Guinness Book of Records? He can sing, his pitch is, he can sing higher notes than any living people
if you guys
in
could
the
see
world.
The look that Zahid just gave me before he said singing is its own instrument. He was, oh.
Oh, no, the keyboards.
I didn't take damage.
Keyboards.
Ah, so lots of synths. I'm going to be singing that in my head all day now.
Yes, and the Norwegians are. And the psykisk helse in Norway is based upon how much grade of is going through your head all the time. So when you take the subreals and the angst, the medicines, it's but he won't disappear. So it's called a landeplage.
So do they play that to babies in the womb
stomach
as well? Yeah.
Oh, the babies sing it. Mm. So if you listen to a woman's vagina, you can hear. Oh, it's a boy.
We.
I'm sorry about that word.
Young audience.
Yes, we have. The youngest we have are almost 40 years old.
Oh, they are falling. Huh?
Okay, so no, I think Aha would win. You know, Aha had their own James Bond song.
That doesn't mean anything to do with James Bond, though, does it? I mean,
that was the biggest achievement you could do.
In Norway, are they from Oslo or?
Well, Duran Duran had also their James Bond song.
Yeah, Duran Duran are from Birmingham as well, and they're mad lads. The people of Birmingham.
Do you know the name of the James Bond song they made?
No.
Spent into the fire.
Oh,
Jordan
yeah.
Kills.
I know the one, yeah.
Spent into the fire. And Aha had, It's very difficult to cover these bands, you see. It's,
Just for everyone listening, the album.
Oh, Living Daylights. Oh, there you have it.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the song. Yeah. And
I really
great
recognize
songs.
That now. You've
Why don't they two play together?
What, Aha and Duran Duran?
Yeah.
Duraha. That's a good question.
Like they could call themselves Duracell.
Duracell.
The Duracells.
Duha, Duha.
Because they're like quite similar and similar age and... Maybe Duran Duran has a bit more drug problems, and but Aha has their own problems as well.
Oh, what yes. Like?
Psychic problems.
Psychic problems. What, like being able to speak to the dead or tarot reading? And
oh, that's, of course, psychic. I mean, problems in between the band.
Oh, they don't get on with each other.
No, after concerts, they used to... Kiss. Drive in each their limo back to the hotel, to the same place.
That's random, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they not talk at all? Could we...
They talk now.
Mm.
Or they sing when a choir is acquired in their songs.
Mm.
But they have concerts together. I was on a concert with them in England, actually. Albert Hall. And I was on an after party with them.
Mm.
And I was, they were just spread. One guy was in the corner, Paul, and wearing dark shades. And hat and his
indoors.
Indoors in the cellar of the.
Had he just had laser eye surgery or?
No, he was a superstar.
Oh God!
Then you need to wear the glasses and
shades.
And... So okay, so then we have this post, but we have to go further because
one more
time
post.
Is running out. Oh my God! The next post. Word of the week. Word of the week.
Right. So. terrifying. So really, it could have been, oh, did I fall it up for my word of the week? But it's not this week.
Okay.
My word this week, because we were talking about, you know, what it is to be Norwegian.
Right.
And stuff like that, I think.
Strong.
Kuselig.
Beg your pardon?
Kuselig.
Beg your pardon?
Kuselig?
Kuselig.
Yeah, Kuselig.
Yeah, but you're breathing very hard.
Sorry. Breathing,
talking about Kuselig.
Kuselig.
Kuselig. Oh, yes. Kuselig. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a Norwegian dialect when you're saying it.
Oh, what dialect is that?
Jan Mayenland. It's a little island outside Norway.
Oh, nice.
Kuselig.
Kuselig.
Ah, brilliant. And then it's dangerous.
Kuselig. Oh, falling.
Det farlig, det.
Det farlig, det.
That's very good, Jamie. So you've learned kuselig,
and
det farlig,
det. Det farlig, det.
And now, why do you find that word interesting?
Kuselig?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Time for school again.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What's the question?
What's the answer?
oh, no.
What's with the kuselig? What is it? That's the word of the week. You've chose that word the whole week. You've gone around and thinking, kuselig.
So, yeah, because I think now I've moved to Norway, I think it sums up Norwegians. Like, so the word kuselig for the English speaking is like the concept of coziness or like comfiness. So if something's kuselig, it's very cozy, it's very nice, it's very... warm and... I don't explain it.
Kuselig is the highest condition achievement a Norwegian guy or woman can...
like sort of like...
enhance.
Dalai Lama, like you go in a waterfall and meditate.
Oh yeah, you know, guys like Dalai Lama are looking for fossefall and solnedgangs all their life, or deer in... mountain peak, and you need to sit under a tree in lotus position.
Mm.
And after an hour, you get that feeling of like a kind of a nirvana, peace with yourself.
But really, that's just being kuselig.
Sorry, I meant blissfulness, not nirvana, blissfulness. It's achieving bliss. Nirvana is, it's just a depressed band from the 90s with guys who seeked for... artificial blissfulness from drugs. But no, blissfulness is kuselighet. Remember that. So if Mr. Dalai Lama would take off his curtain clothes and just put on a ullgenser, but it needs to be merino ull, you know?
What's an ullgenser?
Ull is wool.
Oh, wool, yeah.
Yeah, and he should put on some loafers and a plaid. Plaid is like a plaid...
plaid shirt. What's a genser? You said an ull genser.
It's a sweater.
Ah, wool sweater.
Yeah, and doesn't need those things, but something like good warm, and he gets inside the cabin or apartment or a place with the other friends, and you need a fireplace.
Yeah.
That fireplace... that's the sound of fire. And you have some alcohol, perhaps. You don't need that, but it's nice. And you have food.
Glug or something like that, maybe?
Yeah, but that's more Christmas-ish. To make something kuselig, you don't need to shit.
You don't need to shit.
Glug. So we need just to bring that coziness together. And but peis.
Peis. What, pies?
Peis is like a fireplace.
Oh,
so the fireplace is actually a very, very important... thing to have. So all these things...
I actually find that crazy because most Norwegian houses are mostly built of wood. and yet you have fires inside them.
Yeah.
It's pretty brave, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, they're taking a big chance.
Yeah.
And the pace is very important. It's the key. So every Ivo Caprino movie, for example, that's the highest, when it's crucially there, like the seventh father in the house, or when these guys are the Norwegian folk aventurers, when they're like sitting in their living room and just doing nothing, no television, that sound and that feel is the definition of koselig that Ivo Caprino has catched. And the Norwegian goal is, when they have the chance, to come as near as that Ivo Caprino feel. If you get that, then you will achieve what Dalai Lama and all these alternative bearded guys in India and the gurus and all that are trying to make you do by paying them 10,000 kroners and just sit alone and try to do that.
Yeah.
So that's koselig. And koselig is also a misused expression. Ah, oh, it's a nice, yeah, koselig, this and that. Like, it's watered out, but the...
So how would you say it's misused?
Like, how are you? Yeah, it's koselig here, you know, just to make, don't make any dårlig stemning.
A dårlig stemning?
Dårlig stemning, like if you're in a forspill, drinking and...
A foreplay?
Never mind. If you're sitting with your friends, yeah, you're okay. Oh, yeah, it's koselig. And it doesn't need to be koselig.
Oh.
You're just saying
it. So what
would
you say? Maybe instead you could say, yeah, I'm experiencing a certain level of nirvana.
Yeah, Dalai Lama would say that.
Yeah.
But you will know when it's koselig. It's, it's a I have achieved that, what do you call it?
The
that level. Level seven. Many times. But my biggest level of koseliness is not in Norway.
No.
It's
where is it?
It's in Pakistan, actually.
Oh, okay.
And when I was a kid, and then because in Ivo Caprino's movies you have the level of koseliness, and it's something mysterious also, something a little scary. That combination of scariness, mysteriousness, and having fun, that is quite exciting. And I had that when I was a little kid. I was in Pakistan with my parents, and my grandfather was very good in telling scary stories. So in the middle of the night, under a big mango tree, he gathered all the kids, children in the village, which was like a 1,000-year-old village, and he told scary stories from Tusen og en Natt.
So, what, you were kids, and just before you went to bed, he told you scary stories?
Around the fireplace. And you had lots of...
Scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, and in the trees there were like owls and big birds.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And you can listen. In Norway, when you're in the woods, you hear nothing. You just hear birds. In Pakistan, for example, if you're in the jungle, or it's never quiet. You can hear sounds as... that would be a native language for some people in the jungle. So it's like scary, and the fire. Everybody's afraid of the fire, so you're safe.
Everyone's scared of the fire.
So like the jungle. That's one thing. So the koselig. I was just remembering one other thing about you know, being Norwegian, being practical. Also a very important Norwegian thing to be. Lots of Norwegian people are practical.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like on a day off, people still do stuff. Like if I'm having a day off, I just want to sit on the sofa and do nothing. You know, I want to. I mean, I might have a runk or two, like if I'm alone. But other than that, you know, I just want to relax. I don't want to go outside and paint the fucking house or something like that.
Yeah, and
Norwegians.
But Norwegians do that, and they do that very well, and they're very practical. So you know, you've seen the Robin. What do you call it? Robinson Crusoe movies.
Yeah.
And Robinson Crusoe in the movies is just an actor. So he is pretending he's building, but when it's cut, then it's a Norwegian guy coming and fixing it, probably. Ah, this is not how you need the grunnmur. Must be my father-in-law, you know, he can send him to Jupiter on an island there, and he can make a house out of gas. So it's so that's an important thing also to be. And I'm not that. I just missed my drums.
Yeah, that was a sad sound effect.
So that's that. And we've talked about Korsle. We've talked about what it is to be a Norwegian.
Yep.
And you were wondering, talking about what it is to be
English.
Yes.
British.
That's very good. So this is important lessons for us today. Yes.
Test time.
Here and we've learned, what else have we learned?
The spirit of...
Sorry. It's ringing in. I'm sorry.
I think Duran Duran would beat Aha in a fight, though. I do.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Well, I forgot.
There we go. Are we ready?
Food of the week. A Norwegian dish tried for the first time by Jeppe Andrews. Jeppe. Oh, God. Jeppe
Mai.
So, what do you have there, Jamie?
I've actually got something I'm looking forward to for a change, because you tend to give me stuff that you just want to, you want me to be upset about. So you can hear it. I'm unwrapping chocolate at the moment.
And what's the name of the chocolate?
The name of the chocolate is...
It's a Norwegian chocolate. Quick Lunch. Quick Lunch, yes.
Quick Lunch. So interesting facts about Quick Lunch. It came out 2 years after the invention of the Kit Kat in the UK.
So, you want to try one?
Yep. All right, are we ready?
Yeah. That's not the proper way to eat the Quick Lunch.
No?
Because then it will break and it will, the crumbles. So, the Quick Lunch is divided in four bars. And you've just eaten three bars from the top.
Yeah.
And Quick Lunch is skapt for å dele. It's made to share. And when you just make Twin Towers out of it...
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. Then you have... now it's showing me the finger.
Mm.
So the important way to eat the Quick Lunch is to just take one bar, eat it, and then second, and ask anybody...
Oh, you don't break it into... You break it into bits.
Yeah, and you ask the guy who's sitting in front of you with water in his mouth, would you like some of my Quick Lunch?
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that's how it worked.
Yes, but now you know.
Sorry.
So wouldn't you like to ask?
Oh, dear, foreigner.
It is... So what do you think?
Yeah, it's nice. I think the chocolate, the actual chocolate, is nicer than... I'll probably get lynched for saying that. But I think the chocolate's nicer than the chocolate on a Kit Kat. But I think the biscuit is worse. I think the biscuit's not as crunchy. So it's nice. I enjoyed it. I think one of the first things I've really enjoyed...
These are the nice things you're just getting, but soon in season two, you know, I'll give you dinners that you haven't even dreamt of, dinners that will make you vomit.
Oh, lovely.
So,
with joy.
And you want more, and it becomes the evighetsjul. So,
dice.
Yes, throw the dice. Terningkast.
I think a Quick Lunch is going to get a 5 on the dice.
Wow!
I know.
A 5.
A whole 5.
Even though it's called Quick Lunch, which is obviously an English word, how would you say Quick Lunch in Norwegian? Can you, with the right, it's the same word, but you must say it with
Quick Lunch.
Quick Lunch.
Like a quick lunge.
Lunch.
Lunch.
It's an
Luncher.
So, is the letter, you know, there's you have the round head and there's a head with a hat. Head with a hat.
A head with a hat.
Head with a hat on the snai.
What's the snai?
It's on the skrot.
What's the skrot?
Okay, thank you for today and we'll be back next time. Very good, Jamie. You've done an excellent work today.
Oh, sorry, people. Thank you for listening to the Language Power podcast. If you're interested in anything else, please give us a follow on Facebook.